Hey guys, how's everybody doing? We have a special treat today. I'm back on my health kick and your front row with Jackie Rowe, and I'm your host. And today I am speaking with my new fitness trainer, and her name is
Jess Archer.
Thank you. So Jess and I were just talking about some of my goals and some of my things. Jess, you want to start telling what are the things that we were speaking about as far as the email and about the number one killers? And when I told you I didn't eat meat, the things that you were telling me about it?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So I'm on a mission to empower people to live stronger, healthier, fitter lives. And I'm a personal trainer, a yoga instructor, and a nutritionist. I'm working with
First
Jackie
of all, ladies,
now.
Yes, because we need to let them know how we met. I met Jess in L.A. with one of her friends, and it just took a toll to a different angle where now she's now my trainer.
Yeah, here we are. We're ready. We're making this happen, and everybody's going to get in shape and hit all their goals, and that's what we're here for, right?
Right, exactly.
So my number one thing that I'm working with Jackie on, the biggest deal, is to eliminate sugar, to eliminate added sugar, because it is poisoning Americans. It's killing us slowly. And 80% of all supermarket products have sugar in it. So it's basically only the perimeter of the grocery store that does not contain any added sugar. And big sugar is like the mafia. I mean, we're talking about companies like Coca-Cola, and they do everything in their power to make you, number one, addicted to their food, because the more you eat, the more you need and the more you crave. And it's like this ending void that you can, it's this void that doesn't end, that you can't fill it. And sugar is the reason that everyone, or 76% of this country, is diabetic or pre-diabetic. It's responsible for coronary heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, all of these issues that are not only like preventable, but reversible through dietary and lifestyle changes. So that's the big thing. Everybody has got to eliminate sugar. And unfortunately, we have a society that sugar is pushed upon us day in and day out, and people don't realize how much of it they actually consume. And it's killing us. It's slow suicide. It is really, really destroying us. And the sooner we get rid of it, the better off we will be. We are poisoning our children with it. It is a hepatotoxin, meaning it's like your liver, your body goes into like an allergic reaction, essentially, every time we ingest sugar. And our children have shorter life expectancies because of it. If there was another country doing to our children what we are doing to them through their consumption of sugar, we would be at war with that country. Wow. But we are willingly poisoning our children, and we don't think anything of it. And people say, you know, I'll do anything for my child. Really? You do anything but live a healthy life, right? You do anything but quit sugar, right?
Wow. So true.
And we don't realize how addicted we are to it. Most of us are running around like little sugar junkies, needing our next fix, our next hit. When a cocaine-addicted rat is given the choice between sugar and cocaine, the cocaine-addicted rat chooses sugar. That's how powerful sugar is. It makes sense from a biological standpoint. If you think of our ancestors, they were finely attuned to sugar because it was a quick calorie dense hit of energy. But we were going 2 or 3 days without food, right? We were fasting and we were feasting.
And we were starving. And we were being starved.
Exactly. But now we are ingesting sugar from the minute we get up to the minute we go to bed. You get up and you hit Starbucks and you start your day off with a milkshake. It is not a coffee. At that point, it is a coffee-flavored milkshake. It has 77 grams of sugar. You've got your whipped cream and your caramel sauce and your macchiato this and honey this and blah, 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 right? And so then you have that at 7 a.m. And then at 10 a.m., you have a blood sugar crash. And so you're fiending for your next hit of sugar and you have low energy. And you say, oh, my God, I'm so hungry. No, you're really not hungry. Your insulin is just completely screwed up, right?
Wow.
You're having these high blood sugar rushes and then these high, these low crashes. And it's killing us. And the sooner we get off of it, the better off all of us will be. I'm not saying to be a jerk that goes to a friend's wedding and doesn't and like partake in a slice of cake. Mm-hmm. But we should not be having sugar every day. It's the reason why we're fat, sick, and diseased. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can be vegan, you can be on the carnivore, you can do keto, you can do this, you can do that. It doesn't matter as long as you stay away from the sugar.
How do you pose we do that?
Well, for one, everyone has to start checking their ingredient labels. So there's something like over 100 different names for sugar. And because they put the ingredients in order from the most amount ingredient to the least amount, what they've done is they break up the sugar into several different names, because otherwise you would see the first ingredient would be sugar and you would go, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. So it'll say agave, high fructose corn syrup, sugar, brown sugar, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So many products have 3 to 4 types of sugar in them. So then you're going to have to look at your carbs and look to see how much added sugar there is. And we have these overly sickeningly sweet palates now because we eat so much sugar. So if someone is on a high sugar diet, they could taste a blueberry and think a blueberry tastes tart or sour. But someone who is normal, like doesn't eat any sugar, will taste a blueberry and think a blueberry is sickeningly sweet. So our taste buds flip over every 21 days. So we have to start tasting food differently. Mm. And once you're off of the sugar, you kick it. It's an addiction. You go through withdrawals once you kick sugar. You literally go through withdrawals like you would any other drug, like as if it was heroin. Mm-hmm. Your body feels sick. You crave it. You want it so, so bad. Once you get over that hump and you're done with it, it's not appetizing or appealing to you anymore. It's too sweet. It seems gross. It smells funny. All of these things. But, you know, we're drowning in sugar day in and day out.
I was just going to say, I just went grocery shopping yesterday and I bought, because for me, I know the berries are everything. Like, I know I wasn't supposed to buy the bananas, but I did buy some bananas anyway. And I live off of blueberries. That's probably what's saving my life. I pop blueberries like pills all day. I won't even take my medications, but I love blueberries. I bought 4 cases of blueberries yesterday. And I bought raspberries and I bought, you know, strawberries and I bought bananas and I bought pineapples, you know, Those are all natural sugars. And I was on a real smoothie diet for a while and I gained 30 pounds. I had to show my doctor cause I was at lowest at one weight. And she said, well, stop eating this and stop doing this and just, you know, do smoothies. So I started doing smoothies. I came back 2 weeks later and I was almost 30, 40 pounds. And she couldn't believe it because that's all I was taking, doing was the smoothies. So right. I noticed that the smoothies can be high in sugar too because they're all naturally sweet. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know the real big deal about the bananas. I totally thought I could have had a whole banana. She said, no, after having my nutrition broke it down and said, no, Jacqueline, you were supposed to have half of the banana. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. I was putting a full banana. Then I was putting the peanut butter in it. Then I was putting the honey and then the oatmeal. Then I heard oatmeal wasn't good for me. And I was like, okay. So I went on a diet like periods of times in my life and I followed certain things for 3 to 6 months. I found out, just to be honest, when I didn't listen to anybody, and I just lost 40 pounds on my own. The first time I was diagnosed with borderline diabetes, which is almost 10 years ago, I got so scared because I didn't want to be sticking myself. And I just stopped eating like the way I was eating. I would eat 3 meals a day. I had a big breakfast. Then I was eating things quantity of my hands. And I knew one of the things I love was oatmeal cookies. So I would have that oatmeal cookie at night with, that was my treat. I like juice a lot. I'm a juice drinker. I'm not a real big eater, but I drink juices. And that's probably where all the sugar intake comes at in my life. So,
right, because it's liquefied too. So consider that it's immediately directly going into your bloodstream, right? Mm-hmm. Because there is no dietary fiber. So it's just like, you know, shooting yourself up with a needle full of heroin. Wow. And yeah, it is that dangerous and it is that powerful. And, you know, from the neck down, our body digests all the sugars the same, whether it's like lactose or glucose or all these sugar, all these oses are digested this way, right? And it's really unfortunate that the word and the message isn't out there, how awful, what sugar is doing to our bodies, how awful it really is for us. And, you know, we were talking earlier and I said, oh, okay, well, what did you have? And you said, oh, I had a yogurt. Well, I said, well, let's look at that yogurt and see how much sugar is in it. Well, there's 14 grams of sugar just in that yogurt. But these yogurts are marketed deceptively that they're so healthy and they're so great for you. So people think they're making a good choice when they buy that yogurt or they get that granola, when in fact, they're putting their health in detriment with that purchase. But the company doesn't want you to realize that their like product is not good for you, obviously, mm-hmm. because you got to follow the money. That's what it's all about. It's all about the profits. They are creating these products in a laboratory by a really smart chemist. And this chemist is going after your bliss point. And the bliss point is a point that is scientifically proven to make you crave and want more. It's the right amount of fat, sugar, and salt that is going to like kick off those little reward centers in your brain and make you crave it. So you buy those products, right? And they're not really food, they're actual products. So like I'm saying, they're created by a chemist and then they're in a laboratory and then they're mass produced in a factory. And it's unfortunate that, you know, the standard American diet is killing all of us slowly, you know?
I found that to be so true because I started watching, I don't know, one of the things that you told me to watch, we're going to go back over the names, but I did start watching the meat stuff. I told you I don't eat the meat. I can't right. eat meat for nothing, but I'm going to let you explain that part of it. But the other thing that I noticed was the bars. Boy, oh boy, I don't know what program or something I was told about it. So I started doing the work and I started looking at the little bars, that little granola bars. And I was reading and I was comparing and I was like, oh my God, this is really true. So I, for one, stay away from all the granola bar stuff them because I know they're not true. But just elaborate a little bit more because I told you I'm not a meat eater, but you was breaking down some real facts on that. Could you start on that again for me, please, so my listeners can understand? Yeah.
So I'm a really big proponent of the ketogenic diet, which there is a small subset of the keto diet known as the carnivore diet. And the carnivore diet is straight up meat. It's strictly meat and a little bit of dairy. And this includes no vegetables as well. And the carnivore diet has been used as an elimination diet because it's for anti-inflammation. And people that have had chronic debilitating health conditions are having great success with it. Like these are, I'm talking about psoriasis and stuff that's so bad that these people couldn't walk and they have been to doctors and on steroids and prescriptions for decades. And after 3 months of being on the carnivore diet, they are no longer suffering from these health conditions.
Oh, wow.
So it's really, really fascinating. There's a great book by a guy named Sean Baker called The Carnivore Diet, and it'll blow your mind because it sounds counterintuitive to everything we've been taught about health and nutrition, right?
Right.
So the thing is, it is a human fact that we tend to believe what we have heard the most frequently is what is true to us. So we have heard our entire lives, eat your vegetables, eat your vegetables, eat your vegetables, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's that source coming from? And why are children so averse to vegetables, right? Why do they not want to eat them? And we think they're bitter and whatnot. Well, there's something like 400,000 plant species on Earth, and only 40,000 of those are edible to humans. And not only are the rest of them inedible, most of them, in fact, are quite poisonous and could kill us if we eat them.
What are some of these poisonous plants?
Just anything, just any kind of like herbs and you know what I mean? Like there's certain mushrooms and things like that. There's things that we're not supposed to eat that could make us sick, right?
Wow.
So the thing is, it's like plants are also giving off chemical reactions because they don't want to get eaten either, just like animals do.
Mm-hmm.
And they give off chemicals like oxalates and other things that are really, really inflammatory for our systems. And so
what exactly is oxalate? What is
that? Oxalate is a chemical that plants give off that is not good for our systems. So I'm going to have to pull up the definition and reread the carnivore diet a lot. I was telling Jackie earlier, my thing is I look at myself as a guinea pig. And because I am obsessed with this stuff, I try everything on myself. Mm-hmm. And I was telling her that when I am carnivore is when I feel the best. I have the most energy. I have the best sleep. I have the most mental clarity, all of these things, right? So oxalates also cause kidney stones.
Oh, wow.
Like spinach is really high in oxalates.
Oh, God.
So there's a whole bunch of damaging effects of oxalates on the human body. They're very tiny molecules that bind minerals like calcium and form crystals. It's found in a variety of seed, nuts, and many vegetables. It's only 2 carbons and 4 oxygen molecules. It's a highly reactive compound that is attracted to positively charged minerals. They cause kidney stones and are responsible for a wide variety of health problems related to inflammation. So things like autoimmunity, mineral balance, connective tissue integrity, urinary tract issues, poor gut function, all sorts of stuff, neurological functions.
Wow.
Yeah. So not coming from like an ethical standpoint. And they say, okay, so everyone's supposed to quit meat because of the environment. Well, I think the average vegetarian will consume 2,200 pounds of food per year, and the average carnivorian would consume 600 something per year. So just on an environmental and ecological standpoint, number one, let's just get this out of the way. We cannot continue to sustain at the current rate of consumption. We are eating ourselves to death. Part of the world is starving themselves to death. We're eating ourselves to death. And why are we consuming so much more? We are sitting in our cars in traffic. We're sitting at our office sedentary desk jobs. And then we come home and we sit on our asses and we Netflix and chill. None of us are doing, like, the majority of us are not doing manual labor every day. Why are we acting like we're running a marathon every day? The problem is we are eating from the minute we get up to the minute we go to bed, and we wonder why we feel like shit and why we're depressed. Sorry, can I say that?
Yeah, sure.
wonder why we're also unhealthy, because we have been led to believe we need so much more than we actually do. In fact, it's like hunger that is health. No one knows what true hunger feels like anymore. We eat when we're bored, when we're depressed, when we're anxious, when we're tired, when we're sad, when we're happy. We are always eating. And we have bought into this myth and this propaganda that we need 3 meals and 2 snacks a day. And it couldn't be further from the truth. We have an abundance of these hyper palatable food products, and we just eat and eat. Our metabolisms are designed to feast and to fast. The problem is, in today's society, we are never fasting. We are always feasting. So we are gorging ourselves. And we can't fight that biological urge to gorge. If you consider that humans were long-distance hunters and we tracked an animal for, what, say 24 to 48 hours before the kill, and then we ate for a couple of hours, we ate and we ate and we ate because we knew it was going to be a couple more days before we acquired a food source again. Okay, so we were fasting and we were feasting. Well, now we're always feasting, and we are quite literally eating ourselves to death.
Oh,
like, we are
God.
Killing ourselves with food. We are not supposed to live like this. We are not supposed to look like this. We are not supposed to feel like this. For every extra pound you have on your body, that's 1.5 times the amount of pressure just on your knee joint alone, just the knees.
You sound right? like my doctor. You sound like my private doctor.
I mean, I'm not saying that weight loss solves all the world's problems, but it does a whole hell of a lot of good.
And healthy eating does too. So, yeah, continue, please.
Yeah, and this is the thing. It's like if we all checked ourselves, it's like we are allowing this to happen to ourselves. We are making these choices, and Most of the external things that happened around us, we cannot control all of those things. But the one thing we can control is what we do or do not put in our mouths. And people think that it's, oh, genetics and genetics and genetics. No, genetics load the gun and habits pull the trigger. The reason you see overweight families together is because they share the same plate, the same table, and the same lifestyle. Your genetics are found in your refrigerator and in your pantry. If the aliens came down tomorrow, God forbid, and they put all of us, they put the whole planet in some weird alien concentration camp, and they gave us minimal food, and they made us work ourselves silly. A year from today, would any of us be obese? No.
No.
We would have all lost all this weight. And why? Because it's about habits. It's what you do day in and day out. We're each a sum of our daily habits or rituals. So are you up in the morning at 5 a.m. at the gym? Or are you hitting snooze 4 or 5 times and then going to Starbucks to get your coffee-flavored milkshake, right? How are you starting that day and that dynamic? And are you having a muffin for breakfast, which is actually just cake without frosting?
Hmm. Well, I don't eat muffins. That's a good thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot to it, but it's all really just like a mindset and a mentality shift. It's a way to have a different perspective with food. And sadly, our society encourages binge eating. So most people are just overeating and they're eating their feelings, right? And they're eating to be in the present moment, because once that food is in your mouth, you're not worried about yesterday. You're not thinking about the future and the uncertainty or having anxiety. You're just there in that moment. And then we're mindlessly consuming food as well. We don't eat food mindfully. You sit there with a bag of chips in front of the TV, and before you know it, that whole bag is gone, or you ate that whole box of Oreos or whatever, right? And you feel like shit, so you do it again. And it's this vicious cycle, and we just keep perpetuating this.
That is so true.
And our new normal is so skewed because this whole country is suffering from this obesity epidemic. You know, 4 out of 5 people are massively or severely overweight. So you seem normal because your coworkers are heavy, your friends are heavy, your family is heavy, everybody you know is heavy. So it is, we have normalized it. We are completely desensitized. When you go into your local drugstore, your CVS or your Walgreens or whatever it is, you are at the cash register and you see 200 types of how would you like your diabetes today at the cash register.
Ouch.
And so many people reach for that something because you know what? You had a shitty day at work. You're overworked, underpaid, and that Snickers or that whatever is going to make you feel good for about 1 minute. And we are paying dearly with our lives and our health. And like, we have no vitality. We have no wellness, any of that, because of those little choices we're making day in and day out. But the system is set up for that. And that's why I'm always saying, you know what, if you really want to say fuck the man or fuck the system, the first thing to do is to stop eating sugar. If you look at the history of sugar, Big Sugar was married to Big Tobacco. Big Sugar is currently funding. They have so much money. Their lobbyists, their lobbying power is just insane. They own everything and they do whatever they want. And if you look at the history of sugar and human exploitation and everything involved in the sugar industry, it will make you sick. And once you know those things, you can't unknow them. And it makes it easier to say no thank you when you're offered sugar. And you realize how much better you feel without it. How much, like, you have more energy, you're less lethargic, less fatigued, you sleep better, and you'll have better sex. All of these things. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll have more elevated mood, less mood swings. A lot of times our mood swings are attributed right back to sugar, but we don't realize it. We don't make that connection. What do? We're like little drug addicts. We go and we get more sugar because we want to feel good for a minute. So we hit that sugar and we feel good for a little bit, but it's fleeting and you feel like shit. And then what do? You get more sugar.
Wow. I never heard it like this time, like this kind before. Go ahead, Jess. This is motivation. Go ahead.
I'm on a mission. I mean, and you don't have to eliminate sugar entirely, but everyone should, number one, be aware of how much sugar they're taking on a daily basis. And then number two, try to at least reduce it.
I'm not going to lie, not to intervene, but I'm not going to lie. I had completely stopped buying sugar in my house. And I'm not going to lie, maybe a year ago, I started back again because I started making my own juice. I thought that if I made my own juice, I would, you know, feel better about not buying the juice. You know what I mean? But I know it's still wrong because sugar is bad. You know what I mean? And I know it is. And so I started buying. I would only buy brown sugar and organic sugar, but then I found out organic sugar is not real sugar. Anything that has organic on it wasn't organic. So I was like, oh my God. And then I started back with, because that's what I'm saying. My fetish and my love is just drinking juice. Like, I can drink. I don't know what it is about me and my body, but I just drink. I won't eat. You know what I mean? Like, I'll eat one meal a day, but I will drink all day. That's my thing. I love orange juice.
Let me tell you, Jackie, orange juice is the worst.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It is the worst.
I stopped drinking it for acid reason. I just totally stopped drinking that. I totally stopped. But I love me some orange juice. Oh, my God. Tropicana.
Don't we all, right? And we've all been raised on orange juice and how healthy it is, but it is literally like a diabetic shock coma.
Oh my God.
I mean, it is liquefied and it's awful. The orange juice company manufacturers should be so ashamed of themselves.
Oh my God. What about cranberry juice? Oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, cranberry juice has less sugar than orange juice, and if you want to make what they call like a better bad choice, cranberry juice is a better bad choice over orange juice. But really, no one should be drinking juices. Like, that's just all there is to it.
Oh God. Okay.
I mean, not the fruit. You know, people think they're doing themselves a favor when they go to Jamba Juice or they get themselves a smoothie, but you know, that juice probably had 100 grams of sugar. Right. Mm-hmm. And like I'm saying, from the neck down, your body doesn't process it any differently than any other type of sugar. And because the dietary fiber has been removed, which the fiber will slow down the rate of absorption within your stomach, there's no fiber there. So it is going directly into your bloodstream. And the documentary I was talking about with you on the phone earlier called That Sugar Film by an Australian actor, filmmaker, he goes on a 60-day hidden sugar diet. So he's not eating cupcakes and cakes and lollipops and all of that. He is eating foods that are marketed deceptively to be healthy, like yogurts and granolas and all of those type of foods. He does that for 60 days. And within 60 days, he's at risk for having fatty liver disease. His health has gone completely downhill. He's gained a ton of weight. He's now incredibly depressed. All of these things. That's one thing that people notice is that like a depression fog lifts once they have kicked the sugar habit, because sugar really does affect our moods and we have great mood swings because of it and we just don't realize it. So that film and then the older one Fed Up with Katie Couric narrating it it's still a great resource even if it's older. And there's a wonderful book called The Case Against Sugar by an investigative reporter, Gary Taubes, Taubes is his name.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes all into the history of big sugar and then what it does to your body. And it is just mind blowing. Like, if you're not a reader, get that book on Audible and listen to it in your car. And it's going to make it that much easier to say no to sugar and realize that it is a drug. And we are killing ourselves and shortening our children's lifespans with it and our own. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us live in a bubble. You know, one of my big things I like to teach clients or tell clients is like, okay, in an emergency situation, I know that not only can I lift myself and my own body weight, but I can lift a friend. I can lift strangers. I'm there. I'm ready. Like when Hurricane Harvey hit Houston, I was at George R. Brown before Red Cross was there because I lived almost across the street and I ran up and down. The George R. Brown Convention Center is huge, and we had 10,000 displaced people because of Harvey and all of the surrounding areas, not just Houston. They were all bused in. And I was able to run up and down this giant convention center because I have the physical stamina, the endurance, and I take care of my body. right? Mm-hmm. Many people can't say that. And not only that, if you can't do that for yourself, are you taking emergency responders' time because you need someone to help you? And it's because of your poor lifestyle and dietary, your own choices, right? We look at shows like My 600 Pound Life, and
I was just recently watching those. Oh my God, I was recently watching that.
It's filmed in Houston. Actually, Dr. Now, the doctor's office, is right across the street from my elementary school. Oh, wow. And yeah, I love to watch that show because it really gets into people's psyche. And then also the beauty of metamorphosis and transformation. Once you see someone get a hold of their food addiction and have surgery. And that's another thing. How about this? I'm going to ask you a question, Jackie. If it's all, people are like, oh, it's genetics. If it's genetics.
I don't believe in genetics. Yeah. I don't believe in that. I'm a big, big fan against it. I've always had debate and arguments about genetics. I don't believe no type of genetics. I just can't see it. I don't see how one other human being could be, you know, a clone of something. I don't get it.
This is the question that I pose to people, because why the best and brightest minds of our medical community have decided that the solution to obesity is to perform a gastric bypass, which a gastric bypass is literally a stomach amputation. This stomach amputation takes the stomach down to like 10% of its original size. And what happens then? This results in forced dieting, which results in weight loss. So this is a very, very, very expensive procedure, like $30,000 or something. And it's very dangerous. There are many contraindications. I actually had a friend whose husband passed away the day after the surgery. But they don't go in and change their genetics. They cut their stomach into a little bitty piece so that you can't eat more than a few bites of food.
Can I just tell you this? I have to cut in because I had to cough, almost choked. So this is the now reason why I had a wonderful doctor. She's a German or Russian doctor, whatever she is. I believe she's actually Russian. She is a fantastic doctor. I mean, I watched her and I could tell she was a scholar when she was a student. Just little things that she tell me, but it was just this one procedure that happened 6 months ago that made me look at her different and made me stop going to her. And yes, I was gaining weight. And yes, my blood pressure was high. But she was adamant about me getting the gastro. Now, before it became big, you know my relationship with my brother Mike. 10, 15 years ago, it could be Mike. Had offered, gave me like $100,000 when it first came out. It was like 90,000, if you remember that, you know?
Yeah.
And I went twice with my best friend, Nisa. She went with me, and listening to everything, it was cool. But this is the fourth time. This time again, I went that time, 8 or 10 years ago. When I listened to the whole procedure, I asked what was the after effects and what was some of the dangers and stuff. And so happened 3 or 4 people were there in the orientation, and they all shared their story. And I was like, not for me. That was the first time. Yeah. The second time was, again, you know, my blood pressure, and that's the only thing that my doctor worked, my blood pressure. I am borderline, but I think to be full diabetic, it has to be a 6.4 or 5. I've always maintained a 6.2, you know what I mean? And that's been 10 years. So she's not too much worried about my diabetes, but she's always worried about my high blood pressure. So she's just forcing me to do it, so I go back again, and I go to this other center. And same thing again, I go to the same thing, da-da-da-da-da-da. And again, I'm always asking, all right, I know about this 10 years ago, so now we are like, you know, a little bit more futuristic, whether has anything changed? No. People die every day from it. It's never to change. Right. People have relapses. People get, you know, all this other stuff. So I said no again to her. Boom. Third time, same thing. You know what I mean? Goldie did the same thing. I'm like, okay, I'm getting a little nervous because I'm not controlling my weight. And my blood pressure seems to just be ricocheting because I had maybe a lot going on. I used to get anxiety or whatever. And I wanted to do so much. And I would stay up to 3-4 at night. And, you know, coming from my work ethic, I mean, I work in the industry and I work into marketing. And I had these clients and I had all these stuff. And I was still trying to gauge all of these things. And I was still trying to do it. And then, all right, I said, okay. All right, I'm going to go because my blood pressure kept getting high. I went and I got the same thing again. And I said, now this time, this is about a year ago into now, she was adamant. And I started thinking she was right because I wasn't losing the weight. And I mean, I had lost the weight prior to that years ago, way before I got with her. I lost 80, you know, almost 60 to 80 pounds or whatever the hell I did. And I did that on my own. And she was adamant, oh, Jacqueline, you know, you're going to kill yourself. And she's saying all these things to me. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, you know, if my mind told me once, 3-4 times not to do something, I'm not going to do it. So I went this time again. I went to all the way to the, I had to take a breathing test. I had to take, what do you call a snoring test? I don't know what you call that.
Like sleep apnea?
Sleep apnea. Yeah, I had to do that. Yeah. So here's the thing. Let me just say this. After, you know, she kept pounding in my head and I was doing all the steps. I was like maybe 6-step procedures to get to it. I was up to 5. So now she has me doing stress tests. You know, I got to strip down. I got to go. These are all different appointments, all in the 6 months grace. I have to keep doing all of this shit. So I thought it was just good when I completed the lap band center with their procedures. They were even getting mad at my doctor, but okay, cautionally to me, I thought she was being precautionally because she wanted to make sure that nothing happened to me because I don't have a good relationship with anesthesia. You understand me? I had a bad experience with anesthesia before. So I, you know, she made sure I did the sleep apnea thing. I'm like, I had to sleep with this uncomfortable fucking mask on my face. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not doing this shit. So then she came back and she had me do the stress test. And so now the people at the lap band places, they're like, you know, your doctor is being, you know, overbearing. You know what I mean? They're getting upset. And I said, you know what? Everything happens for a fucking reason.
Yeah.
I am not doing this shit. I am not doing it. So now I've been out of, you know, contact with my doctor because every time I go to her, she's just adamant. And this doctor's a great doctor. She's a good doctor. I've recommended mad people. But now I'm looking at her and I'm like, okay, I want to believe that you really believe that this is for my health, for what you call it.
Right.
But some part of me thinking this is a money thing for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You keep pushing this shit to me. I've done every test you want me to do here. I was always nervous to do, you know, my breast examination. So I started doing that when I hit a certain point. So I'm doing this shit every month now. You know, I have my regular GYN. I go get my test just to make sure I don't have any cervical cancer in my vagina. I do that to check I don't have breast cancer. So the only other thing was the colonoscopy. Now that's the only thing that I'm behind. Every other thing I've been doing, and besides that, she's been pushing me to do this. So I am just not with it. And I just believe there's a natural way. And then now look where we are today. I don't mess around. I don't take none of my blood pressure pill. And I'm telling you, believe me, Jess, I have been the best without taking all those pills. I don't have palpitation. I don't know what I'm doing. I used to have sciatica. I don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just in a different space. I know I can be healthier because I don't eat bad. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I don't eat bad at all. You know what I mean? I'm not a greasy eater. I don't eat greasy fried chicken. I don't eat greasy food. Now that I found out that shrimp wasn't good for me, I cut that out. Remember you just asked me, do I eat shrimp? That's why, because I found that shrimps were high in cholesterol. So I stopped messing with that. You know what I mean? I scaled back a little bit. But I'm really good when it comes down to eating. But now you taught me a whole new pattern of things. So God is good.
Yeah, exactly.
God is working with me because you don't even know.
Yeah. And this is what I want you to think about. Like diabetes drugs, for one, it's a multi-billion annual industry. And not only are there dozens of diabetes drugs, there's dozens of diabetes classes of drugs. So people get put on insulin and pills and all of this other stuff when really they can go on a ketogenic diet and in 6 weeks they can reverse those diabetic numbers. There's another great film. It was on Netflix. I don't know if it still is. It's called The Magic Pill, and it's about like a very low-carb diet. And, you know, this one little girl has terrible seizures and is on thousands of medications a month, and she's like 5 or 6 years old. She has all these issues. She goes on this diet and doesn't have another seizure.
Wow.
Right? And meanwhile, it's like, you know, these doctors are giving people all these pills and all these procedures and all this stuff. Our body is a self-healing mechanism, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And we have to give our body a chance to heal. But that's another thing with about the feasting and the fasting. When your body is focused on digestion, all it can do is digest. So if we're always eating when we're awake, that's all your body can do. It doesn't have a chance to do any other functions like cellular regeneration or turnover or any of those things that can be healthy for us, which is why we need to give our stomachs and our bodies a break from constantly digesting. And also, you're going to get to know yourself a lot better. You can get in check with yourself. Like, am I eating because I'm stressed, tired, anxious, bored, depressed? Am I eating because I'm actually hungry? Because none of us in this country really know what it's like to miss a meal at this point, except for, I mean, it's so sad because there's people who are suffering from food insecurity and hunger and all these things. Meanwhile, the rest of us are eating ourselves to death. There's no balance. Like, where is the balance in that, you know?
Mm-hmm. You are so right. Like, it's just, you know, I just got so frustrated because I talk and I try to work with certain people. Like, I don't know if you know about Dr. Sabi, herbal stuff.
Oh, yeah, was that the one that Lisa Left Eye Lopez yes. was?
So yeah, I yeah. have his family, you know, well, I've met Dr. Sabi years ago before his demise, and I still stay in touch with his protege and his apprentice, really, you know, his ex-wife and his two stepsons. So I had her here, and she had all these herbs, and, you know, they believe in sea moss and soursop juice and all that stuff. So then, you know, I had one of his stepsons, which used to work for me, you know, and every day we were eating avocado and the sea moss and stuff. I found that to be, had some type of, the milk that we was using, some type of organic oatmeal milk. That put on weight. I mean, if I was just doing all of these different things, I've tried at least a multiple 10 different ways. And the only thing that worked for me, just like I told you before, is that when I lost weight myself, nothing worked for me until I did the things myself. I just was eating in the palms of my hand. I had one big breakfast in the morning. I ate every 3 hours the size of my hand. I diluted all my juice because I'm a juice drinker, so I would put half a water in it, half a thing. My treat was that oatmeal cookie, and I dropped at least 40 to 60, 80 pounds on my own. And people thought that I was bugging out, but I did it. You know what I mean? So here we are now, because now it's a different time, and I know I could put my mind frame on, but I just needed some real help, because my podcast is about health, wealth, you know what I'm saying? You know, money, power, and respect. You know what I mean? I'm always trying to give up whatever information. I just try to be as real as possible, because it's about me. It's Front Row with Jackie Rowe. So I try to give real things, because I don't know who's listening. I hope somebody that's listening could take some type of, you know, information from it. And I want to be able to be as real as possible. So now I'm still in this thing, and now look, now I go to, you know, LA, meet Hami, and then I meet you, and I didn't even know we were talking about domestic violence, and you are friggin' fitness trainer, body like this, no other. Like, I posted your picture, and so many guys was like, yo, who's that? And now we're on my podcast, and you're my fitness trainer. God is great, right?
And you know what, Jackie, let me tell you, let's think about this. A year from today, what's it going to look like? You know what I'm saying? Because teamwork makes the dream work. You and I are going to put the work in, and you are going to hit your goal and go beyond your goal and surpass your goal and influence and inspire and empower and uplift all of those other people around you and all the lives that you touch.
I can't wait. Because
they're going to see, look at what Jackie did. I can do that too. You gave them that capability, you know?
Yes, I can't wait. I mean, you come with such a different way. Now, the keto diet, I got to really get into that, because that's different. I've never heard of this before. So that's just consistent of eating meat and dairy?
Well, that's the carnivore diet. So the carnivore is a small subset of the keto diet. So The ketogenic diet is a high-fat, moderate-protein, very low-carb diet. Very low-carb being defined as under 25 net carbs per day. That's how it differs from Atkins, because I think Atkins is 100 carbs or less. Mm-hmm. But the keto diet means that your body starts to burn ketones as opposed to glucose. So it is a metabolic shift. It is a switch. So your body starts to make ketones from the fat that you eat and then your fat reserves. So you're in the state of what's known as ketosis. And if you think about it, it's carbohydrate for a reason, for it's the hydrate. So we retain water when we eat carbs. So initially, when someone goes into the state of ketosis, they will get a water weight drop. And it could be anywhere from like 4 to 10 pounds, just depending on how much water weight that person generally holds. And I look at people and I can see they look carb sick, like carb puffy, carb bloated, carb swollen. And if I go out and have some huge meal and drink champagne with my girlfriends all night, and the next day my hands are so swollen, like I can't get my rings on because I have gained all of that water weight back because I knocked myself out of the state of ketosis.
So that's what that is. Okay.
Yeah, and the thing about like keto is that you can keto-fy anything these days. It's really easy to eat keto, so it makes it sustainable and maintainable. People say that, oh, diets don't work because 95% of diets fail. This is bullshit. Diets don't work because you revert back to the, you lose weight, then you revert back to the same patterns that made you fat in the first place. So of course you're going to gain the weight back. This is what the issue is. It's about doing something that is sustainable and maintainable for you to actually make it a lifestyle change. Most people are incapable of doing calorie restriction for longer than 3, 4, 5 months, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why something like keto works so well for people, because it's very satisfying. It's very easy to do. And I'm also a really big, like, avid proponent of the intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. Because, and like, even starting with a daily fast of 16-8, my preferred method for myself is OMAD, which is one meal a day. So I typically do a 24-hour fast. And I break my fast in the mid-afternoon after I've trained myself, trained my clients. Then I have a huge meal and I eat like a linebacker because I'm consuming all of my caloric needs for, and that one meal. So I can eat a ribeye and 4 eggs and a whole thing of bacon and whatever I want, right?
Okay.
And then I don't eat again until the next day. Or if I say I have a lunch meeting or a dinner meeting, I just, I'll have 2 average size meals and I'll shorten my eating window, my frequency. So like all, I want to stop my, break my fast at 1 p.m. and then I stop at 7 p.m. That's just when I feel best, right? Mm-hmm. And anytime that I deviate from that schedule, that's when I start to put on weight. But that's because I'm, and like, you know, I've been 96 pounds, I've been 200 pounds. So I have run the full, I have been underweight, overweight, everything in between, right? And mm-hmm. I have done bikini competitions for years and whatnot. And so I, this is all personal and relatable to me as well, because I've been through it, right? I've been depressed and I have laid in bed and ordered a large Domino's pizza and cried myself in bed over my pizza and my little chocolate guava cake. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I know what it's like, but I also know what it feels like when you are on top of your game. Like something like 75% of women are unable to look at their own reflection in the mirror because they have so much self-loathing about and so many body issues and body insecurity. So this is what I want to change. I want all of us to get strong, because when you are physically strong, you can conquer and achieve anything, because it's all, it's like a mind, body, soul, holy trinity, trifecta. It all becomes one. If you're, you feel strong, then you feel good. You feel confident. You can go after anything you want in life. But when you feel like shit and you hate your body, you can't achieve, you can't live your fullest life or your best life because of all of these horrible things you think about yourself, right?
Right.
So I really do preach like the strength, because with that comes the confidence, right, and everything else. And it's all about, you know, Dan, and I was telling you before, like, forget motivation. People are like, Jess, but I can't stay motivated. I'm not motivated. It doesn't matter. Fuck motivation. It is a fleeting mythological creature. It does not exist. You focus on cultivating two things. One is discipline. Two is consistency. Yes. If you are disciplined and you are consistent, you are three quarters of the way to your goal, no matter what it is in life, whether it's physique or otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't feel like moving your ass that day. It doesn't matter. You fucking do it anyway, right? Mm-hmm. You just do it.
That's with me. I believe in that damn Nike sign. Just do it. But go ahead. We have like 5 more minutes because I want to maybe stop this podcast because I don't trust it going over. So just let people know how to get in touch with you. And I just want to share this, you know, and thank you for, you know, elaborating and being one of the best part of Front Row with Jackie Rowe. But tell people how to get in touch with you.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me and also giving me the opportunity to work with you. I'm super excited and I can't wait to see everything that comes up for us in the future. My name is Jess Archer. You can find me on Facebook at Jess Archer or on Instagram at JessTheArcher1116. And you can also email me at Jess@JessTheArcher.com. That's my website, Jess the Archer.
Thank you, Jess. It just was so different, the things that you were saying, that I wanted other people to hear and share, because there's so much different diets and so much different dimensions of things that we hear all day. And I just got frustrated sometimes because I'll be on one diet, the next thing I read on the news or somebody say, oh, that's not good for you.
Right. But,
you
know, it's all conflicting information.
Yeah, but thank you.
And that's what, but you know what? Like industries like Big Sugar, they want you to feel like that. They want you to not only be uninformed, they want you to be misinformed. They want you to feel confused and frustrated. That works for them. That's why they can fund all these agenda-backed studies, because that puts money in their pockets. So that's why I'm always like, you know what? Just cut out the sugar. Forget everything else. It doesn't matter if you're paleo, keto, carnivore, vegan, fruitarian, whatever it is. Stop eating added sugar and watch your entire life and world around you change.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, then hold on.